This is Marcos. This is my fourth interview at the Xorg Developers Conference. This is with Martin Perez. He works on the Nouveau driver for the NVIDIA cards.
Okay, this is number four, I think, and it's either XDC, XDS, or ZorgConf 2011, right? Everyone seems to have a different thing. So anyway, I am with Martin Perez, who is a French student. Martin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Martin Perez. I'm a student. I just graduated from a security-oriented engineering school. I'm starting a PhD in a library. It's a research lab in Bordeaux, in France, and I'll be working on greener IT.
Greener IT? What's that?
It's how to use less resources to provide the same service. So resources could be energy, like electricity, so consume less for the same service. Or it could also be radio frequencies, like achieving the same bandwidth, but with just the same amount of...
She wouldn't get as much interference or just use less power on the less radios?
And trying to find the... optimized way to route the messages across.
Okay.
Could be a lot of things.
Okay.
I don't know yet really what I'll be working on because I'll start just in a few weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So right now you're mainly working on the Nouveau driver, right? Is kind of what you're working on?
Well, I work on Nouveau, but I also work on an Arduino IDE called Arduino IDE. Arduino is a platform based on an AVR. Maybe we should check it out. It's open source, it's open hardware, and you can basically do some basic electronic things.
They're like little €100 little single board computers?
No. It's way cheaper than that. It's it's about $20. And what I did, for instance, was to use this an Arduino to actually control the my music player. So I have a screen. An LCD screen that is just writing the name of the song, the title, the artist, and the progression. I can use a thumb joystick to go next, precedent, volume up, down. I have some BlackBerry trackball that I use to, well, almost nothing, but it's just cool.
That's cool. So is it the music player on your machine?
Like on my computer. And there is, I use the USB connection to...
Nice, that's cool, I like that.
Send comments to the player and get information from it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, you're a geek through and through. I like it.
That's cool, yeah.
Okay. Arduino IDE?
Arduino, it's the Arduino IDE, but we are using... The official one is made in Java. But we wanted to write it in Qt from Nokia.
I approve. I'm not a Java fan. Okay. Let's see. So right now you're a geek through and through, which is good, and you're working on X stuff.
Yeah.
So in X, what are you working on?
In X, I'm working on a Nouveau driver. Nouveau is an open source driver for NVIDIA cards. It supports cards starting from Riva 128, so it's pretty much the fourth chipset ever released from NVIDIA. I mean, almost no one has the previous ones. And it goes up to the latest one, NVT9. So what it does is, it used to, it does 2D mod setting, so you can just plug your screen and have something rendered on it. Well, that's cool, but not enough. Also, we have some 3D stuff. It works on, it works well on GeForce 7 and later. I'm working especially on power management. This is to change the frequencies of the card. But I also work on fan management. I mean, if the temperature rises...
You can change the fan speeds?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, okay. Otherwise, the card could just blow up.
I consider myself a geek, but I just don't know these things. Ah, I'm so ashamed. I should know these things.
It's fun. yeah, what's left? Oh, memory timings also. This is a bitch. I mean, yeah, if you just do something wrong, just a little bit, the card will crash right away.
How many clock frequencies does those cards do? Can you step them from like, I don't even know.
Okay, let's say there is a call clock that is just a rendering clock. There's the shadow clock for, well, shadows, memory clock, and then the other ones are just, I would say, could be for video decoding, or now on Fermi we have so many clocks that I can't even track them. There are like 10 or more clocks.
Does each engine have its own clock, or are they kind of all chunked together?
On Fermi, every card has, every sub-engine has its clock, almost.
Are they gateable on a per-engine basis?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. Are they kind of like in groups of...
Yeah, the clock tree is a bit strange.
Okay.
But, right. Yeah, I haven't started working on it yet. I'm still working on GeForce 8 up to Fermi.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I only have one Fermi, so...
Okay. You guys, because you're helping do the reverse engineer effort on that, right? So you don't actually have any documentation. You're having to figure all this out.
Yeah, we have no documentation. So basically, we can check what the proprietary driver does. We can, I'd say, capture every interaction, the blob, the proprietary driver. Every access that the blob does, we know it. Well, yeah. It's great, but when you have millions of lines, yeah, you still need to find what's the interesting line that you want to that you need, basically. Yeah. But it's not that bad. I mean, at first you're overwhelmed, but after you try to learn how to make your way through it.
Okay, so it's like everything else. In the beginning, you're completely lost, have no idea what's going on.
Like, yeah, you're like in a sea of lines.
Eventually, you keep at it and you get there.
Okay. And we have some gigs that really help newcomers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very cool. I saw something cool.
How'd you get into X?
That's a good question. I mean, I started programming when I was 12, and I programmed using QBasic.
Now, when you say 12, that was only 11 years ago. You're only 23.
Yeah.
Okay, so 12 years ago really is a...
Yeah, I'm still a student. I was just doing some little programs, but what I didn't want just to write programs. I wanted to learn what the system was and how things worked. That's really what I love. So, well, I used to make games with a cousin of mine. It was interesting.
What kind of games?
Well, there were some basics that were doing some 3D. It was called 3D Game Creator or Dog Basic Pro. It was great. But... it was too abstract. So yeah, I started learning C when I was, well, I think 2 years later, 2 or 3 years later, so when I was 15. And, well, I loved it. I mean, even though I had to read books to get things to work properly, it was really interesting. And then after a while, 2 years later, or 3 years later, I was in the Windows kernel. I wanted to understand more and changed the network stack so as every outgoing connection would be tunnelized so as it will pass through the firewall of my university.
So when you did that, you So it'll go through the tunnel. Did you have access to the source code?
No, of course not.
Ah, okay.
Of course not. So you have to set up Ux for that.
Yeah.
For Windows, it's basically there is a SSDT. It's a table which make correspond the IOCTL, the system call number, to a function to call. And you just change this table so as you put your function instead of the normal one. And you need to write a driver also.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's fun. But as it was closed, I mean, it was hard to get it working. I basically wrote 5 different firewalls, but that's all I was able to do. It was great. Oh, there was something fun that I was able to create rules, like every time you would like to access google.com, you would be redirected straight away to somewhere else.
Really?
Yeah. It was interesting. Fun, but didn't achieve what I wanted, so that's not good. And then I went to Linux because it was open and I knew Ubuntu, but I didn't really like it because it was working too well, maybe. I don't know. It was,
So you feel like you needed to get in and pry around in the guts to...
Yeah, so a friend of mine made me discover Arch Linux, and I sticked to it since then. So I've been an Archer for four years now. And I loved it, even though it wasn't really working well, because the hardware I had was crappy, especially graphic cards. I sticked to it because it was my operating system. And it's so cool when you want to learn a system and you can just build your.
Yeah.
And I was a Windows geek at the time, not proud of it, but
it's all right.
Yeah, I had experience with Linux. I mean, even with my father, I tried Red Hat, an early version of Red Hat, and it was interesting, but I mean,
didn't get you like.
Yeah, it's as a user, I didn't see the point. I mean, there were less programs and everything, but I really understood what was open source when I really went to Arch Linux. And even though all my code that I wrote was always open source, because I don't know, it was just I felt it was natural to help people. So every time I learned something, I wanted to share it. And I still do, obviously, but now I know the GPL and all the licenses. So that's cool. So the graphic card on my computer didn't work well. I was using the proprietary driver. It was a Radeon card, so it was FGLRX. Didn't work at all for 6 months, so I was stuck with Visa. Yep. So no graphic acceleration. And after 6 months, it started working, and it was great. I started using Compiz, and it was interesting. But I moved to the open source driver and lost everything. But it was interesting.
You lost everything?
Well, I just had 2D acceleration.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. So that was what really got me started into X, because I was basically testing every release, and then I started using the master branch, the Git branch of Radeon and kernels. I was testing them as soon as possible. It was working too well. So it's only when my school offered me a laptop with an NVIDIA card that I really wanted to work on driver. I mean, and the NVIDIA driver was working well, but I just wanted to be able to upgrade to new kernels before NVIDIA released the driver.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get stuck to to Visa. So I installed Nuvo, and it worked better than I expected. I mean, I had no 3 at all, but I had to the acceleration. It was kind of good looking, not too bad actually, on KDE. And yeah, about 9 months later, I wanted to change the code so as I would not have artifacts with KDE. I didn't succeed in doing so. It's difficult. But the CTO of Pathscale got me started into their project that was oriented into providing GPGPU for open drivers. So I basically started by hacking libgrm. It's the library that is abstracting the DRM interface and the kernel. So DRM is just to, I don't know.
That's what knows the. It makes sure that the programs don't touch things they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's right? True. And also, it provides a simpler interface. To the hardware. Yeah, Ian, kind of abstracted one.
Ian touched on it a little bit. He was there, and I kind of got some of it.
Yeah, libgrm, and yeah, basically wrote. A version of libgrm for the driver of Pathscale that is called PSCNV. Well, it didn't work well, but at least I was able to get X working and GLX gears. It was great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't work well. So then, as I failed to do that too, the Pathscale CTO just handed me over some documentation on POM management, and that was pretty simpler to get started with. Mm-hmm. And I were able to change the clocks pretty fast.
Did you have to figure out how to do that?
Or no, I had docs actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was taken from what was the name of it? A tool that was written in GPL, so they have access to the code, but we wanted it to have it in Nuvo, but Nuvo is MIT code, MIT license, so it's more BSD, and we couldn't just take the GPL code and put it into MIT. So they basically wrote the documentation and I implemented it. Yeah, and it started working pretty fast. I mean, a few days.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I got reclocking. I was like, oh my god, it's too great. Yeah, I mean, having more performance, it's great. So what I did after that was, it was exactly 1 year ago. And I kept on improving it to make it stable, kind of. Also, I started working on fan management, memory timing management, VBIOS, the video BIOS reverse engineering. What else? There are also some changes to do in the kernel because NVIDIA cards are a bit strange, so yeah, it's hard to explain, but
okay.
I need to work with the HWMAN team. It's
the hardware manager.
Yeah, monitoring? Yeah. So basically, how to set fan speed and so on. Yeah, when you have I2C chips to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I covered how I went to X and what I did.
Yes, you did. Let's see. So I guess the next thing on the list is anything cool or lately that you guys have been able to do. I know your presentation was about. Your clock gating and stuff that you've been able to do?
Yeah. It was, my presentation was more about what the Nuvo community can do. So our new latest work is video recording for MPEG 1 and 2. So it's basically useless, but it's the first implementation we have.
So it was when you had you showed the first video and it was choppy every half second.
Yeah, it was choppy because it's a benchmark from Amplia. So yeah, it was choppy. I think Amplia was just decoding a bunch of frames, then render them, then decoding, render. So it's not really like a pipeline. It was more like two threads. But it didn't work well. And if the decoding is done in hardware and the rendering also, it was quite...
So is that what the second... Because the second demo that you did was really, really smooth.
Yeah.
And it was really, really fast, too.
Yeah, also. And that was the point.
That was all done in hardware then?
Yeah, everything done in hardware.
That was very cool. You also, was it Quake demo or...?
Yeah, of dynamic reclocking, that's the latest work. I mean, just figuring out the usage of the GPU is hard. That sounds crazy, but yeah, it's hard. Actually, we've known how to get some information for that for a long time ago. 6 months maybe. But every chipset is different, so we have to ask for people to run a program that I wrote. I wrote it just a week ago. So as we can find some signals like, is the GPU idle or not? And this signal, you can monitor it using an hardware engine. It's basically just a counter. If you pull this counter from time to time, like every 100 milliseconds, you can know how much time it was idle and how much time was active.
Yeah.
And using this, it's just trivial just to write a small kernel thread that would just pull this counter and then reclock according to the usage. Like if you're using more than 80% of the GPU, just go to the highest performance level, and then if it hasn't been used for, I don't know, 5 seconds, start downclocking.
Yeah. Okay. And anyone can use that program?
The program to reverse engineer, yeah, it's the point.
So does it collect this data and send it to you guys?
Or it doesn't send it, but yeah, it just draws it on a printf it on the screen.
Yeah.
It just and then you can just copy and send.
Okay.
Us. So that's the point.
Okay. So anyone listening, again to the listeners, listening to this, anyone who has a NVIDIA card could basically get your program and then run it and then take the output and send it to you guys?
Yeah.
And
then I'll push a call soon when I'm sure that I can't in a matter of a few minutes and add more signals, because there's not just one, there are at least 20 that we know, but some of them are trivial to reverse engineer or to find. Some of them are really trickier, so I'll just check if there's something I really want to get. Like, it would be great to know the memory bandwidth usage. This kind of information would be interesting. So as I could add support for it and then ask for people to run the program. Otherwise, people would have to run it several times. Yeah, I want to be user-friendly.
What's the name of the program?
I can't really remember. I think it's NV8 Counter.
Okay, well, I'll get that from you. I'll put it in the show notes so anyone interested can...
Yeah, we have one repository with everything, every tool that we use to reverse engineer, or we also have the documentation that we wrote, the register map. There are loads of them. And how to parse your video BIOS also. It's interesting to know what's inside your card.
Yeah,
you can even get your BIOS or even BIOS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
The video BIOS?
Yeah, the video BIOS. And you can even upload a fake one, without flashing the card.
So really?
Yeah.
Is it kept in
in the memory. Okay. Yeah, if you upload the BIOS before the NVIDIA driver is loaded.
Yeah.
Well, you basically have control of the card. Upload the card without having to use Nuvo, Yeah, you can just change your BIOS and BIOS, and yeah, you'd be done with it.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's the kind of funny thing that we can do.
Okay. I'll see. Where do you see things going?
Yeah, tricky question. I think, well, with the all the AM industries going on, I mean, it's kind of exploding. We used to have only x86 processors, but now we get many different ones because we want more autonomy from our embedded systems. There is a market for ARM, and for the moment Windows is working on it. But
really? Windows on ARM?
Well, Windows Mobile.
Oh, I totally forgot about Windows Mobile.
Yeah, that's... yeah. Is it Windows?
Sorry,
not
Microsoft,
really, but yeah. But the drivers, they are not really available for it, or, well, I mean, we used to have all the binary binary programs shipped, but now, if they want to do that, they will have to, we have so many flavors of ARM, x86, so I think open source will become more and more mainstream. I mean, if people want to create a new processor, they just need to change the Linux kernel get everything. So that's cool. In this sense, I think the Linux kernel is going to continue rising and being broadly used.
Yeah.
And so for us, Nuvo, I don't know. I mean, at least Xorg will continue on every chipset.
By Wayland.
Yeah, Wayland on. It was Nokia. They wanted to use it for Migo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there is a market for that. So I'm pretty sure people will use it. Especially since they don't have to code an operating system again. as for Nuvo, well, as long as NVIDIA is doing some desktop cards, will be there, okay. I think. It's getting trickier and trickier to get support for the cards because they don't really... It used to be simple. Everything was in hardware, so we basically just sent some information and the card started working by itself. Now we have to write microcodes for many, many things, almost everything. So it's trickier, but as long as we have an army or reverser, or we can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it hard to get into
Nuvo?
Yeah.
It depends. There are some tasks that anyone can do, especially documentation. But yeah, I mean, if you want
to. No one wants to do documentation.
Yeah, no one wants to do it. Actually, that's not good, but.
Yeah.
Well, there is some simple work that we don't do because we keep it for you guys.
listeners.
Yeah. And we have some more important issues, I think, we need to do. I've been only working on Nuvo for a year now, but yeah, I kind of understand what needs to be done, and what I want to do with newcomers is to be their mentor, so as they can ask me stupid questions and not bother the really good guys. Yeah, so...
So you're volunteering to be a mentor for anyone who wants to get into, who's curious about Nuvo or wants to get into...
Yeah,
okay.
As long as they want to stay, because I get a lot of people coming and just try to be interested for 3 days, and then after 3 days, I just don't hear from them anymore.
That does kind of. I'm curious what that. How I know it's common. I'm curious how much, because you'll get people who will be interested, and you'll hear from them, and then as soon as they learn that they're not going to be able to make massive changes in 20 minutes.
I think 95% of the people I get in touch with don't continue.
Yeah.
And
now this is not to scare away people who
Yeah, it's not that I scare them. I think they just lack or they're not aware of that they really need to be what's the word? Independent. I mean, you have to think by yourself. Don't think that we can tell you everything. I mean, you have to think by yourself.
Yeah.
Trial and error is the way you learn.
Expect to get frustrated. It's not.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not always easy.
It's, yeah,
you're
it's
have
not
to
easy at all.
Yourself.
But it's really good when you have some code working, or even when you see someone, a friend of yours, that is using your code without even knowing it. I mean, yeah, it's great.
So what happened there? You had a friend of yours who was using your code?
Yeah, yeah. I had an intern in the same research lab I'm working at the moment. And yeah, he's using Nuvo. He didn't know that. And just by watching the kernel logs, I could say, oh, those lines, yeah, it's me. Yeah.
I wrote that.
And yeah, I know what's wrong with your hardware, and I'm working on it.
That's cool. So did he have a problem you were able to help him with?
He didn't know he had a problem, but he had it. But yeah, and actually, now I'm in contact with the Arch community and the developers of Arch, because yeah, I can help them make Arch Linux a better distribution, and this is great. I mean, it just install things and it works.
Yeah,
that's yeah what everyone. Once.
I've heard quite a few people here talking about Arch Linux distro, so...
Yeah, maybe you should try it.
I actually run it on my desktop at work.
Oh, yeah.
I think I did a bad install, though, because I hate it. I hate Pac-Man, I hate UART, but I think I just have a bad setup. Maybe I just need to wipe it and
it's
start
too
back
simple,
over.
I think, maybe.
I need to give it a fresh look, try it again. Mm.
Yep. So,
okay. So definitely, people can help if they're interested. What is the Nuvo IRC channel or mailing list? Where's that at? Is it freenode.net?
Yeah, freenode, and the channel is just Nuvo.
Nuvo.
Nouveau. It's actually new in French. It was named after a spelling mistake that was corrected by the program.
Autocorrect.
Yeah, autocorrect. So yeah, the Stéphane Marchesin, the guy who started Nuvo, he actually wrote NV and the autocorrect changed it to Nuvo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it has been kept because it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, it's the new NV driver. So yeah.
What was there? There was something in some slide that was Nuvo underscore
Vieux.
Vieux.
Yeah, old. It means new old. It's the Nuvo driver, the Nuvo 3D driver for old cards. So new old.
So none of us who didn't speak French were laughing, but as soon as someone French person told us, in
the yeah. So yeah. First time I saw that, I said, no way.
Yeah.
I mean, it was already confusing.
Cool. So, all right. Well, is there anything else you'd like to tell people who are listening to this?
Well, get passionate about something, no matter what, and do it with all your heart. And if it is system related, I hope it is about Linux or a BSD distribution, something open source, so as you can learn and I would say make donation of your learning and work to everyone.
To give back. To
yeah,
the
give back to the community.
Yep.
Because yeah, it's cool.
It is cool, and you get to meet some really cool people.
Oh yeah, also, and you go to conferences that are really, really cool. I mean, my friends are not into computer science at all, so every time I speak about Linux, I only in real life I only talk to 3 or 4 people, and the rest of them will be on IRC or mailing lists, And so to be able to meet you guys, it's like, wow, that's great.
It is cool.
I was raised into a small village, and yeah, no one's interested in computer science there.
Same.
Yeah, so I do have to. I got to plug XORG here if anyone's. We're in Chicago right now, right?
Yeah.
And there's probably, I don't know, 30, 40 XORG developers here right now, I think.
36.
Oh, you counted.
Okay. No, I didn't count it, but it was in the attendance list.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, I checked 36 it almost so.
And
every week.
It's a cool group of people. I mean, you think X is these, I don't know what people think about X, but you think it's this insurmountable project that getting to learn it is impossible, and the people who develop it are probably just crackpots, you know, and just no free time, don't make fun, yada, yada, yada.
But that's true. It's impossible to learn everything.
Well,
but
yeah.
it's not a problem. But, I mean, you depend on other people.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's good.
It is good. And the people you depend on the XORG project, they're really cool people.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, everyone here is just, they're
Latin,
really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're a good bunch, and they're very smart.
Yeah.
Very
they
smart.
They are very, very smart. That's true.
So it's like a lot of the other open source communities. The XORG community is, they're a good group of people. They're fun. You know, they're smart. It's a fun group. It really is. We need more people in the group.
Yeah, and they are passionate.
Yes.
Even though they are always picking on project and say, it sucks.
Yeah.
But it's the right way. I mean, you need to just say it sucks and then you start working on it.
Yeah.
This is the right way to do
it. It is. It sucks.
I mean, just
we're
flaming.
Gonna fix it. Yeah.
Flaming isn't doing anything.
No, it's not productive.
Yeah.
Unless you're just grumble flaming, it's like, this sucks, but you go ahead and fix it. And in which case,
this is open source.
Good. Yep, that's how it works.
Yeah.
So. Very cool. Well, thank you, Martin. It's going on 27 minutes, I think. I don't even know. This thing's counting down. I don't know how to start. Anyway, thank you very much for your time. It's very
you're
cool
welcome.
Talking to you.
Thanks for listening to me.
You bet. And hope to see you again online and next year at the conference in Germany or Ireland or wherever it's going to be. So
in Europe.
Sure. Hopefully we'll see some people listening to this podcast.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Well.
I mean, last time I went to the XDS, it was XDS last year. I had been working on Nouveau for, actually a week.
Serious? You only been on a week last year?
Well,
I just had a couple months.
Yeah, but I was working on PSCNV, not Nouveau.
Okay.
So, yeah, PSCNV isn't an XORG project.
Okay.
But it was related.
Yeah, it counts.
Yeah.
It counts.
Well, so, definitely come. And maybe to the FOSDEM. If you're a European guy, just come to the FOSDEM and come see us by yourself how cool this project is.
Yeah, you really should. And we shouldn't tell them, but at Toulouse last year, there's like a group of us that went to a bar, and let's just say a good time was had by all. So way too much booze, but anyway, cool. So we might have some French listeners. If you want to say anything motivating to any of them, feel free.
The same.
Same thing.
Yeah, all same right. thing for everyone. Yeah,
yep.
Nationality doesn't matter. Just motivation and passion.
All right. I second that. Cool. All right. There we go.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.